Ladies and gentlemen, good morning and welcome to the Endurance Technologies Q2 FY26 earnings conference call, hosted by Axis Capital Limited. As a reminder, all participant clients will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nishit Jalan from Axis Capital Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Q2 FY26 post-results conference call of Endurance Technologies. We are pleased to host the management team of Endurance. Today, we have with us Mr. Anurang Jain, Managing Director, Mr. Massimo Venuti, Director and CEO, Endurance Overseas, Mr. Rajendra Abhange, Director and COO, Mr. Raja Gopal Sastry, Group CFO, and Mr. Raj Mundra, Treasurer and Investor Relations. I'll now hand over the call to Anurang for his opening remarks, post which we can start with the Q&A. Over to you, Mr. Jain.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. As we close quarter two of FY26, India's economic backdrop remains strong, even as global uncertainties persist. The domestic economy continues to show strength as we move into the second half of the year. The RBI has revised its FY26 growth forecast from 6.5% to 6.8%. It has lowered its CPI inflation forecast for FY26 to 2.6%, down from 3.1%. These, along with a steady repo rate, reflect a supportive macro backdrop for demand and investment. World Bank, too, has raised India's GDP growth forecast for FY26 but has cut their FY27 forecast to 6.3%, citing headwinds from the recent 50% U.S. tariffs impacting Indian exports and slower global demand. We are hopeful for a better and amicable settlement on the trade tariff issue. A major domestic policy move of the last quarter is the GST rationalization implemented from 22nd September 2025, which simplified the rate structure into fewer slabs and lower rates for many consumer goods, farm and manufacturing inputs, and for most automobiles and auto parts. This is expected to support growth of the automotive industry by improving affordability and consumption across segments, and the robust festive season sales were also attributed to such lower cost of ownership. In the automotive sector, as per SIAM, two-wheeler sales reached 6.9 million units in quarter two FY26, up 10.3% year-on-year, with motorcycles at 9.6% growth and scooters at 12.4% growth. Passenger vehicle sales increased by 2.4% to 1.3 million units, while three-wheeler sales rose 21.4% to 0.4 million units. Endurance, in its standalone financials for quarter two FY26, saw a year-on-year growth of 16.2%. In the European Union, new car sales saw a year-on-year rise of 7.7% in quarter two FY26, while our Endurance total income growth was significantly higher at 32.5%, with Stöferle consolidation. If we remove the impact of Stöferle consolidation as well as the tooling sales, our total income grew by 7.8%. In quarter two FY26 industry volumes, there was a 17.4% share of battery electric vehicles, 10.2% for plug-in hybrids, and 34.3% for hybrids in Europe. On the strategic growth front, we are pleased to share key updates. As you are aware, the central government had issued a draft guideline mandating ABS for all vehicles sold after 2025. We announced a capacity expansion, increasing our ABS capacity by 2.4 million units per annum, which is a five-fold increase, along with a significant increase in disc brake systems and brake discs also. A new ABS capacity of 2.4 million ABSs per annum will be installed in two phases, with the first line of 1.2 million will be operational in quarter one FY27, and the second line will be linked to the timing based on the final guidelines, which is expected in this month. Since ABS was already mandatory for more than 125cc two-wheelers, we expect much of the incremental demand to come from 125cc or lower two-wheelers with a single-channel ABS. For a dual-channel ABS SOP, one OEM will start SOP next month and the second OEM by January 2026. So the run rate of 640,000 ABS per annum capacity we have will be reached in quarter four of this financial year. For the large increase in volumes of single-channel ABS, we are lining up backward integration of steel-based hoses, valves, and ECU assemblies. We also plan to insource part of the ECU printed circuit boards needs through our SMT line. We have started civil work for setting up our new plant for disc brake systems, which includes the master cylinder, caliper, brake disc and brake hoses, where we expect SOP in quarter 2 FY27. Here we will produce 3 million disc brake assembly systems per annum and 4 million brake discs per annum. This will be part of the total 7.6 million disc brake systems and 8.6 million brake discs at Endurance, which is planned at Endurance. This will help us not only to serve better our OEM customers in South India, like TVS, Yamaha and Royal Enfield, as we will be close to them, but also help create space for our new ABS expansion in our existing brakes plant at Chhatrapati Sambhajinagar. As you are aware, we are also setting up a new integrated R&D facility for brakes, which will be double the size of the existing one. The new R&D facility will be ready and commissioned by quarter four of this financial year and will completely integrate two-wheeler brakes as well as the ABS R&Ds with space provisioned for four-wheeler brake assemblies also. Here we are also adding a brake parameter measurement lab. We continue to position our new AURIC Shendra facility as a key point of critical machine castings for four-wheeler and non-auto applications. We are therefore equipping this plant with highly sophisticated machining and finishing equipment. In the past, we have mentioned about orders from marquee US and UK-based OEMs and also orders from Valeo for electric platforms of Mahindra. And now we have added Yazaki as a customer, taking the total sales close to Rs. 388 crores per annum at peak. SOP for both the US and UK OEMs will start in quarter 1 of FY27 and we will reach peak sales in FY28. The SOP for the AURIC Shendra plant is going to be in January 2026. At a new two-wheeler alloy plant at AURIC Bidkin, the SOP has already started in October for Bajaj Auto, while supplies for Royal Enfield will start in next month, and Suzuki alloy wheels will start by the end of quarter 1, FY27. This plant will have an annualized sales of more than Rs. 600 crores by quarter 2 of FY27. As you are aware, the plant has an installed capacity of 3.6 million wheels per annum, which has been entirely booked with orders from OEM clients. A Chakan alloy wheel plant is also running full with a capacity of 5.5 million wheels per annum. For a battery pack manufacturing facility near Pune, key imported machinery shall be installed by next month and SOP will be from January 2026 for a leading two-wheeler OEM in India. Once this battery pack cylindrical line is installed, we are confident of getting battery pack business for other two-wheeler and three-wheeler programs. We will also focus on battery packs for high potential sectors like inverters, telecom and battery energy storage systems. With respect to the Rs. 300 crore per annum business won from a leading two-wheeler OEM, the proto samples have been submitted in this quarter, which is in line with our SOP, which is planned in January 2026. In half one of this financial year, our wholly owned subsidiary Maxwell achieved a record turnover of Rs. 73 crores as against Rs. 70 crores in the full year of FY25. We are now supplying battery management systems for scooters, three-wheelers, tractors, construction equipment for a European company, as well as for telematics along with motor control units. A strong R&D and innovation cell at Maxwell has helped us to optimize and value engineer the battery management system products across two-wheelers, three-wheelers and tractor segments. We are also focusing now on a high-voltage battery management system for four-wheelers and e-buses. The festive season demand was led by products rolling out of a highly automated surface-mounted technology line at Chhatrapati Sambhaji Nagar, where we have now a capacity of 44,000 battery management systems per month. We will be adding another 44,000 battery management systems per month on the second SMT line by March 2026. In half one FY26 at Maxwell, we have won rupees 21 crores of new business, which has taken the total cumulative orders won to rupees 209 crores per annum, which will peak in quarter 3 of FY27. The orders won are for two-wheelers, e-rickshaws, e-bikes, electrical construction equipment, and for airline buggies. We at Maxwell have now a strong pipeline of RFQs of rupees 137 crores. We are the clear market leader in inverted front forks, and this business has grown steadily over the years with rising demand from multiple OEM customers. We have started supply of inverted front forks and monoshocks to TVS, where the front fork has been upgraded with adjustable features and with both side cartridge systems. The SOP for another OEM, Hero MotoCorp, is planned within this financial year, while SOP for a leading Chinese two-wheeler OEM is expected to start in quarter 1 of FY27. This would take the total number of OEMs using our inverted front forks to 6. Our overseas OEM client, KTM, has also started increasing schedules for inverted front forks. We should cross a total of 650,000 inverted front fork sales in this financial year. As you are aware, our aluminium forging business, which has a technical collaboration with FGM in Italy, started as a backward integration for supplying aluminium forged axle clamps for our inverted front forks. This large inverted front fork growing business is a captive use opportunity for our aluminium forging axle clamps. We already have 4 aluminium forging presses, which we will move to a new forging facility in quarter 1 of FY27, along with the 5th aluminium forging press, which has already been ordered. For aluminium forging business, we have now won export orders of rupees 5 crores per annum for new parts from a German OEM. SOP is planned in quarter 1 FY28. As you are aware, we have orders for aluminium forging from Jaguar Land Rover of rupees 27 crores per annum, which business will start in quarter 4 of this financial year. We have also won aluminium forging orders from Royal Enfield of rupees 12 crores per annum, which SOP in quarter 1 FY27. Our line of sight for aluminium forging business next year is around rupees 140 crores. Sale of the first set of containers carrying our export consignment of solar dampers took place in quarter 2. We are building a new infrastructure in our Sanand plant at Gujarat to cater to the large volume orders for these solar dampers. This business value won from a Spanish OEM is rupees 200 crores, which will be executed by FY27. There is a tremendous opportunity to increase this business. We are in the process of finalizing business with another global client. In quarter 2, we started supplies also of our assistance grip clutches to Royal Enfield and Kawasaki, introducing Adler's technology to the Indian market. SOP for Bajaj Auto is expected in the next quarter. As mentioned earlier, we have started on-vehicle testing for our first four-wheeler drive shaft order. We expect to commence SOP in quarter 4 FY26. In view of multiple three-wheeler orders across 5 OEMs and expected growth in the four-wheeler business, we plan to set up a separate four-wheeler drive shaft assembly line during this quarter. As informed in the previous calls, we completed the acquisition of the 60% stake in Stefele entities in Germany in the beginning of quarter 1 of this financial year, with a line of sight of acquiring the remaining 40% in 5 years. Stefele has an annual turnover of approximately 80 million euro. From April 2025, Stefele financials are consolidated in the Endurance Group financials. We had mentioned earlier that under the Maharashtra PSI 2019 scheme, we received an eligibility certificate of rupees 600 crores for capex incurred till September 2025. Under this 2019 scheme, we will now apply for an additional eligibility certificate for capex up to full FY2026. Based on rupees 606 crores certified by the authorities, we have recorded a PSI incentive of rupees 33 crores in quarter 1 and rupees 37 crores in quarter 2 of this financial year. You will recall that we have booked almost all amounts totaling rupees 446 crores under the PSI 2013 scheme and have collected cash to the tune of Rs. 350 crores. Let me now give you a gist of orders won during half one of this financial year. Please note that the business value from new orders are without including orders from Bajaj Auto. Overall order win in half one FY26 in India business was Rs. 909 crores per annum, of which Rs. 903.8 crores is new business. This includes the new business of 300 crores per annum for the battery pack at a Talegaon plant and Rs. 21 crores new order of BMS at Maxwell. A four-wheeler business win in half one FY26 is Rs. 355.8 crores, which is 61% of the total business win won this year. This includes Rs. 103 crores of EV casting business for a leading US EV OEM and Rs. 146 crores aluminium casting order from Hyundai and Kia Motors. SOP is in FY27, which is next year. We've also won from Ather Energy for their scooters. The alloy wheel business was Rs. 31 crores with 100% share of business for their new upcoming plant at Auric Bidkin at Chhatrapati Sambhaji Nagar. Cumulative India business orders for the EV segment till date stand at Rs. 1012 crores per annum, and with Bajaj Auto this figure is Rs. 1195 crores per annum. So the total orders won since FY22 is Rs. 4671 crores per annum, out of which Rs. 3953 crores is new business. We expect Rs. 3500 crores per annum out of this to peak in FY28. We have a total of Rs. 4209 crores worth of RFQs in hand. We expect to win more than Rs. 1500 crores of business in the next 12 to 18 months. In our Europe business, we have booked orders worth €12.7 million during half one. These are orders for machine casting from the Volkswagen Group, machining orders from Stefele, and EV component orders for a specialty plastics unit in Turin. The aftermarket is a strategic priority for us. We have set ambitious growth goals till 2030. We are focusing on secondary demand generation with retailers and mechanics for the domestic business. We have appointed a new domestic head and a value-add products head for the bought-out products we buy. We have developed district action plans for 78 district clusters and defined unique value propositions for 39 countries. We are the first in our industry to launch a global rewards program, which is a tiered loyalty program for our channel partners. We are also driving a holistic development program to build capability of our sales team and to empower them with the right tools and skills. Coming to our financial performance, the information has been uploaded at the stock exchanges last evening, along with a presentation explaining the numbers. I will, however, highlight some key numbers. During quarter 2 FY26, the company recorded a standalone total income of Rs. 2,692.2 crores, a year-on-year growth of 16.2% from Rs. 2,317.1 crores in the previous year. The EBITDA grew 6.3% from Rs. 316.1 crores to Rs. 335.9 crores with a margin at 12.5%. The PAT grew 1.5% from Rs. 184.8 crores to Rs. 187.6 crores. The EBITDA drop of 1.16% on total income is largely contributed by raw material cost increase led by aluminium alloy, which forms 55% of the total raw material purchases. Around Rs. 10 crores is due to investment in people for future business growth in the areas of strategy, R&D, aftermarket and sourcing. A further around Rs. 10 crores is in two special projects which are for the aftermarket profit growth and the sourcing savings with a leading global consulting firm, which is an investment of profit growth as well as cost control, and this will continue till quarter 4 of this financial year. In quarter 2 FY26, our consolidated total income grew 22.6% over quarter 2 of last year from ₹2,939.2 crores to ₹3,603.8 crores. The EBITDA grew 21.9%, ₹408.5 crores to ₹497.8 crores. A margin was at 13.8%. The PAT grew 12% from ₹203 crores to ₹227.3 crores at 6.3% PAT margin. With diversification and business growth, our HR department continues to play a key role as an enabler in shaping the business outcomes. Our focus remains on strategic workforce planning and talent ramp-up, with emphasis on strengthening the mid-management layer to build a balanced organizational pyramid. HR digitization is being actively leveraged to enhance efficiency and improve ease of business. To build future-ready capabilities, we have also launched the LEGS, which is a Learn, Earn, Grow and Succeed program, with a customized skill development program for our blue-collar employees. Alongside, we continue to strengthen our leadership and capability-building agenda through multiple flagship programs such as the Endurance Leadership Program. On the sustainability front, we made significant progress this year towards our ambitious goals by FY30. We achieved a 48% carbon neutral percentage. We lowered specific electrical and thermal energy as well as specific water consumption, while water recycling and hazardous waste recycling both stand at 98% each. We also enhanced our renewable power share from 23% in FY24 to 25% in FY25. And now we have increased it in Q2 of this financial year to 28% through expanded rooftop solar and wind power agreements. We also contributed 300,000 kL of water through water augmentation projects. CRISIL has increased our ESG rating for FY24 to 59, up from 56 in FY23, while another agency, SES, has increased our rating to 74, up from 68 in the previous year. Our A120 Vanush plant has been awarded the prestigious CII Green Oak Gold rating. At Endurance, we see CSR as a way to create real and lasting impact. Our approach is centered on lowering inequity, one community, one child, one individual at a time. This is how we create impact that endures well beyond the tenor or scope of CSR work we are doing. I'm pleased to share that our CSR arm, Sevak Trust, has transformed 61 schools with solar energy and hygiene-based focused facilities, enhancing attendance as well as outcomes, while training over 900 adolescent girls in health and skills. With sustainable agriculture training, our farmer empowerment program has benefited over 4,900 people, and ECOV, our vocational training center at Chhatrapati Sambhaji Nagar, has imparted training to over 2,300 youth, securing over 85% employment. Our health work has reached 42 villages, serving 19,000 people, and we have built 2,300 toilets to improve sanitation. Our Wetman program too has been successful, providing treatment to 43,000 animals in 47 villages. This quarter, we have started work on the biggest dense forest project covering 25 acres land with 2.5 lakh plantations, tree plantations. I'm happy to inform you that we have won the Quality Excellence Award from Tata Motors at their annual supplier conference in September 2025. I'm also happy to inform you that in October this year, our Endurance overseas plant supplying to Stellantis Group was recognized as a top supplier in the Global Supplier Awards 2025. Now, with these opening remarks, I would now like to invite questions from all of you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Manish Ostwal from Nirmal Bang Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. And I have a question on the slide number 12 of the presentation, where the scooter segment has seen a decline of 4.4%. In the last quarter, there was a very strong growth. So any spillover effect, can you comment on this line item, why there is a decline in this particular quarter?
Yeah, I think this decline is mainly due to the decline of, you know, Honda motorcycles and scooters. As you know, they have had a degrowth. I think that is the major reason for this.
I mean, industry volume is 12.4% in your presentation, and your income growth is negative 4.4%.
Yes, so the reason for that is that, you know, HMSI is the second largest OEM customer. And when they get impacted, we also get impacted. So that's the main reason. The previous financial year, when they really grew, we did very well, you know. So it does have an impact. Because as you know, HMSI is a market leader for scooters.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Jhawar from Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and congrats on a resilient quarter. My first question is on the, you know, the standalone business, India business, where we saw a YOY basis, you know, margin compression. If you can explain that, you know, if you can quantify what could be the impact of aluminium pass-through, and what would be the other variables to drive this, you know, YOY margin compression?
Yes, I will request Raja Gopal Shastri, a group CFO, to answer.
So, Aditya, thanks for this question. So, we did get a flavor of that when the managing director spoke. So, we did have a compression in margin, and we are trying to compare that with our sales on production, on product sales. And that is close to a 1.36% increase in material cost. And this is coming predominantly about 35% of that or 40% of that is coming from aluminum increase. And then we have seen a few other topics where strategically we have been spending some, consuming some material for our R&D projects because we are getting a lot of suspension orders and also we are getting ready for the upcoming legislation. And there have been some seasonal effects where generally we have this benefits in terms of turnover discount, and in the last year, in the same quarter, we had in the first half this year, they have been moved to the second half of the year. So there have been some seasonality effects. In effect, I would say that close to 40-50% of that is from the commodity side. Some part of it is the additional consumption due for our R&D projects, and some of it is the seasonality aspect of some one-timer effects in the last year, same quarter, and some of them which have been postponed to the upcoming quarters in this year. So this is largely the main reason. And the other aspect is, which was also mentioned by the managing director in his opening remarks, this is the employee cost. So we have spent a bit on the employee cost for strategic reasons, and this will have a gestation effect, impact, where all these additional people in the sourcing, in the strategic functions, in the R&D functions, these are important for our upcoming growth plans. And the third one is on the special projects in the other expenses. We did spend a bit on the consultants' costs and the associated travel and other deployment costs of the strategies to reduce our material costs and also to increase our aftermarket sales. And this, again, this will continue for the next 2 quarters at least. So we are seeing the impact of some of the initiatives which we are taking for future growth and also the future cost competitiveness, and that is impacted this quarter.
That's good to know. So do we expect that, you know, next financial year we'll be back to, you know, historical margin trajectory for the standalone business? Is it fair to assume that some of these headwinds might no longer be there?
Yeah, so we are very, very focused on that, and we'll put all our efforts to improve the product mix also. And so that's clearly our target as we go forward. As we believe in only profitable growth, but I think this raw material cost increase and these two special projects, as well as our investment in people for the future, was very, very important for us. So here we don't look at, you know, just the margin percentage. We look at the future of the company.
Yeah.
And that's very, very important for us going forward.
Thank you. And next question is on our ABS expansion plan. So where are we in terms of, if you can remind us of, the expansion plans and incremental discussion with customers, what kind of timelines you are anticipating for the regulation to get implemented? Just a quick update on ABS.
So right now we have a capacity of 640,000. Which I said we'll reach in quarter four based on the line of sight we have on schedules from our customers by quarter four of this year. We have ordered a 1.2 million capacity ABS line, which will be coming, which we'll install by April, or I would say quarter one of next financial year. On this line, depending on the guidelines, of course, we believe there was a meeting which took place, but it will not be good for me to speculate anything on this call. So we expect the guidelines to come in this month. And based on that, looking at the lead time which is there to implement these new guidelines, based on that, I think the line which we have ordered, the capacity or use on that will depend on that. But today definitely we have a line of sight to use that line, but we'll have to see that what is the timeline which comes under this new guideline. And the second 1.2 million line we will order based on this guideline which we get in this month. So 2.4 million we were very clear to place the orders, after we got the draft guidelines. So 1.2 million ordered already beyond 640,000, and 1.2 million we will wait for the new guideline. But we are talking to all the OEMs on the ABS, and there are not many players. So we are very, very optimistic of this new business, for sure, going forward.
Okay. The next question is, on the four-wheeler suspension business. Has there been any discussion with customers, and what are the initial sense we are getting on the four-wheeler suspension side?
Yes. I will request Mr. Rajendra Abhange, our Director and CEO, to speak on this.
Yes. Thanks for this question, Aditya. See, you already know we have made some inroads into four-wheeler proprietary products. It's been already spoken in last couple of investor meetings. Suspension is very much on our cards, and we are very close to getting into one of the OEMs now. As you know, it's a technology product, and OEMs will only take it when you prove your competency. We are very close to getting into one OEM, major leading OEM of India. The second one is also in the queue. So as we get closer to it and we get a letter of intent, we will anyway come to know about it. But there can be exciting news in the near future.
Yeah, that's good to know. My next question is for Massimo. If you can give outlook for the European business, medium term outlook, and any impact of this Xperia chip issue that they are anticipating on the production line.
Okay, so the situation in Europe, the quarter closed, with an increase of 7.7% in terms of volume, in terms of registration. But if you analyze the production continues to go down. So it means that in this moment, the market is growing only because they are reducing stock with important discount. The expectation for the future months is to maintain more or less the stability. In this situation, as Endurance, we are performing aligned compared to the market with an increase of 7.8% without Switzerland compared to the previous year. And this is not stock, as you can imagine, but is more production compared to the previous year. And we continue to be more or less optimistic for the future two quarters, because the expectation is to maintain stability. Everybody in Europe, we are waiting the position of the government for the new rules of the Green Deal in June 2026, and from my point of view, till the data, the situation will be more or less stable. Speaking about the situation of the shortage of components and so on, in this moment, no particular issue from our customer. We receive official position already by Stellantis and also Volkswagen Group, more or less 50% of our customer portfolio, and so in this moment, we don't see particular problem.
Oh, that's good to know. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Viraj from Simple. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just a couple of questions. First is on the subscription part. You talked about us getting some traction in the 4G space. So is it more into the new technology areas like the active suspension or the semi-active, or it's more on the mass tech side? So that is one. And a related question there is, if you see the landscape right now, you see the market largely being a 2-3 player market. Given the structure, there's a good amount of competition intensity, especially in terms of pricing. Players not earning kind of margins, they're expecting.
Actually,
your voice is not very clear, So cannot understand everything you're saying. The first question we, understood was the technology which you will use in suspension, whether semi-active, active, or a normal technology. And the second question, we are not clear what you were asking.
The second question was,
let's take one by one. Can you repeat your first question in a short way so that we really understand exactly?
Yeah, sure. So what technology areas, the business we are looking for in four-wheeler, and how should one look at the margin structure in four-wheeler given the competition intensity is very high?
Actually, not able to understand, I'm sorry. It's not clear. Did anybody ask
Sorry to interrupt in between. Mr. Viraj, can you please speak in the handset mode?
Yeah, I'm already on handset mode.
Aman, now you're much clearer, Viraj.
No, now it's better.
Sorry for that, because if you don't understand the question, you may not get the right answer.
No, it's not a problem. If you want, I can repeat,
Sorry for that.
So, what technology, we are fitting for in the business in four-wheeler suspension? And second is, the competitive intensity is quite high. And there are players who are, quoting business at mid-single-digit margins or low margins. So how should we understand profitability, in this segment for us?
And with competition quoting lower prices, how do we see the profitability in this business?
Let me tell you, the question is very good. It's a tough business to get into. Let me honestly admit that. We are a late entrant. Rather, we have not entered the four-wheeler suspension as yet. There are already established players in the market. But as you know, we always strive to give best value to our customers by way of the frugal technology. As we told you the last time, we already have a technology partner from Korea who is very formidable. And we feel their technology will be highly suited for the Indian smaller cars, especially the small size cars. And we will definitely bring some value. Our engineering is also equally strong in suspension. As you know, we are market leaders in two-wheelers. So there will be a lot of horizontal deployment from the learning of two-wheelers. And we are pretty sure that we will crack into certain major markets, major customers in the passenger vehicles, and also make decent kind of, the profitable proposition to the company. So we are confident about it.
Okay. Second question is on the suspension. You talked about innovative front fork. What will be a market share there? Just to get a perspective, and what is the adoption we are seeing in the industry?
Yeah. So to be honest, I would not know the market share.
Exactly.
But definitely it is, it is a high majority, I can say that. I don't have that, but I know on suspension, in front fork, we are, I think, at 43% of the market.
Yes.
And in shock absorbers, we are 37% of the market. This is as of quarter two.
Okay.
44 in quarter two.
But the inverted fork would be higher.
So inverted fork is definitely higher because there are very few players in this. He has a first move advantage with the technology with KTM in 2008. And like I said, we are also, one is we have
Bajaj Auto, of course, also increasing, you know, its requirement, as well as we are seeing I said we are starting with Hero Motocorp as well as with a Chinese OEM in quarter one FY27, and we are in touch with almost every OEM on this inverted front, you know.
Okay. Last question on the solar dampener side. You know, you talked about us talking to further few larger OEMs. Any color you can give in what stage, the discussions are, and how big this business can be for us in next, say, 3 to 4 years?
Okay. So this, I think can be replied by.
Okay, so this is relatively a new addition to our portfolio, and as two or three investor calls before, we already declared that we are going to get into it, and the good news is we already started bulk supplies to this market as one of the fastest entrants into this segment. We know there is a competition in this segment as well, but I think the way we have got me into it, it's been well appreciated by the customer, the confidence has gone up. So we will grow this business very rapidly. This is point number one. Last time I told the market potential is huge. Without floating any number, I can tell you it can be a very significant part of our total business. It all depends upon how well we are able to garner this customer support. And there are multiple players in this. One is already a Spanish company who is already with us. Now we are going to get into another two companies. We are in deep discussions. If that happens, the size of this business could be very significant.
So over a 5-year period, can it be like a 10% or 15% of our business? Does it have that kind of a potential to be, you know?
Of course, local business? No. I don't want to say any number at this stage. It's a bit too premature, but I can only say the potential is huge.
Okay, come back. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajit Agarwal from Nilgiri Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, can hear you clearly.
Okay, thank you. This question is related to the European business and also on the overall margins. So the European business sequentially has seen a decline in turnover. Whereas the last quarter, there was an industry-wide degrowth. This quarter, the industry has actually grown, and despite that, sequentially, our numbers are lower. At the same time, the margins seem to be higher. Now, one, the question on how do we read these numbers. Second is, if the margins of this quarter in the European business are going to be carried forward, and overall the consolidated margins will be at similar levels as of this quarter.
Okay, so speaking about the second quarter of the European operation, we closed with 88.7 million euros turnover compared to 66.9 million euros the previous financial year, with an increase of 32.7%. In terms of EBITDA, 15.8 million euros, 17.8% compared to 10.7 million euros, 16% of the previous financial year. In terms of net result, we grew 36%. Net profit, 3.9 million of euros, 4.4% compared to 2.9 million of euros the previous year, 4.3%. This increase in terms of turnover, EBITDA, and net profit also without consider Sufferland. So it means that the company grew without consider Sufferland more or less 6% in terms of turnover and 7% in terms of EBITDA and 10% in terms of net result. If you compare this quarter with the previous quarter, the reduction is due only to the normal seasonality of the business in Europe. In fact, we grew, we closed with 88, as I told you, 0.7 million of euros turnover compared to 103 million of euros of the previous quarter, quarter 1, 2023-26, but the market go down 13.3% compared to the previous quarter. In the European Union, we registered 2.5 million of euro in this quarter compared to 2.9 of the previous quarter. This is the normality in Europe because in the second quarter of the financial year, there is the amount of vehicles and this is amount of holiday in Europe. This is the normality. You can't compare to the first quarter. This is the normality also in the past. You can check.
No, that's fine. So thanks a lot for the clarification. And the follow-up question was on the margins. So the margins of this quarter, are they going to continue for the European business? Will the trend be same?
We will try to do the best. For sure, this is our target. We are growing more than 47% in terms of the EBITDA compared to the previous year financial year. The EBITDA rate is 13.10%. We are very happy to consider that now nobody speaks about energy, but we consider that we continue to have three times the energy cost and the gas compared to the pre-COVID situation. So from my point of view, the performance is really, really good. And the expectation for the future months is to maintain and to improve the profitability as we have done in the past, for sure.
Right, so the performance is much appreciated, sir, and thanks for the clarification. Just one small follow-up question. And the presentation did mention that there were certain tooling orders in this quarter. So if those were to be removed, then what would be the margins in the European business? Because tooling orders, I'm assuming, are generally higher margin orders.
It depends, because in the tooling you can have from 10% to 40% of trading margin. It depends if we are speaking about tooling of foundry or tooling for the machine. Because when you start, when you do important investment, you receive the general commission from 15 to 20% of contribution from the customer. But we don't consider the profitability of the tooling. We consider only the industrial profitability. In the analysis, it's correct to say that in the previous financial year, in the second quarter, we have had an important impact in terms of turnover of tooling. And if you offset this, the current increase of turnover compared to the previous year has been 7.8% compared to a market that grew 7.5%. This is the reason why we are saying that we are growing more than compared to the market. And on top of this, please, our increase of turnover is real production, as you can imagine. For the registration, as I told you before, the market is only the stocking, the dealer situation, because the production continues to go down. Only to give you an idea, the German market, the major market in terms of production in Europe, lost more or less 4% of production compared to the previous year in terms of compared to the previous year in the quarter.
Right, sir. Thanks a lot. If I may persist again, I'm sorry for the follow-up. Can you quantify the amount of tooling orders in terms of euro or INR?
The existing tooling order could be something like 14 million.
No, I'm sorry. No, the revenue from tooling in Q2.
The revenue from Q2. 1.9 million of euro.
That's the reduction.
That's it. Oh.
1.9 million of euro is the reduction compared to the previous quarter.
All right. Okay, sir. Fine. Thank you. May I ask a question on related to the capital expenditure of the group as a whole? What will be the capex in Q3 and Q4?
Speaking about the Europe, more or less the actual is 20 million of euro. Our expectation is to reach 32 million of euro in the total financial year.
All right. And for India?
In the India standalone business, we may be closing the year with close to 750-800 crores, and we already have done 450 crores in Russia.
So there will be an increment to 300 to 350 crores.
Yes. And it mainly is in three new plants, you know, which are coming up in this year.
Right.
That's the reason.
Correct. Thank you, sir. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Mr. Nishit Jalan from Axis Capital Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Two questions from my side. First, on the India business. On the four-wheeler side, Mr. Jain, if we look at this business, we have been winning a lot of orders, but our revenue has been stuck at around 5 to 6% of total revenues. So just wanted to get a sense, based on whatever orders that we have won so far, how do you see revenue scaling up in this business over the next 2 years? Will the contribution from this business go up meaningfully from here on? And my second question is on Europe. In Europe, if I remember, Massimo earlier used to talk about that given that a lot of EV business is coming in, where investments initially will be higher, right? So we should start looking at EBIT margin. And if you look at your depreciation expenses have gone up substantially. Is it because of that same EV trend where EBITDA margin will be higher, but since investment has been higher initially, so the depreciation will go up, or we should look at it different way? Thank you so much.
Okay. First of all, from Europe, I confirm to you that the increase of depreciation in the quarter is due to the startup of the important investment we have done for Stellantis and for Volkswagen. And there will be another step of increase of the depreciation in the next quarter for the startup of the fourth new line for the 1.5 liter gasoline of Volkswagen. This is due to the important investment we have done in the past, but from my point of view, it's not an issue because we are growing more or less 1.6% in terms of cash profit. And so if we are able to increase the EBITDA in the same way of the increase of the depreciation, it means that the payback of the investment is aligned with our expectations. So in this moment, I don't see any kind of problem.
Sure. Sorry, just one follow-up here. So you mentioned that the depreciation is increasing because of some startup costs. So is it going to be the normal run rate, or you will see depreciation coming off beyond once the plant starts, or it's going to stay around the similar level?
No. It's a normal trend. Absolutely normal trend.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. So as far as India is concerned, like I said, that we have won since FY22 3,953 crores of business, out of which we have realized around 1,440 crores last year, and this year we'll do about 1,160 crores of this business, and the balance will be in the next 2 years. I said we will reach a peak of 3,500 crores per annum in FY28 versus 3,953. That's the line of sight we see, which is there. I also said we will win further more than ₹1,500 crores against the 4,200 crores we have of RFQs. This is the line of sight which we have. We are also winning mainly for Auric Shendra plant. If you see the casting orders for electric vehicles, we already won 456 crores. From in fact five customers, or from four customers. Apart from that, we have also won another 355 crores of orders this year, which is for four-wheeler castings. We also won the drive shaft proprietary business of about 24 crores per annum last year. Now we won the drum brakes order, which is there, and we are really focusing on growth on the proprietary business, which is taking a bit of time, but definitely step by step, like I mentioned earlier also, that like in two-wheeler basis, gradually build up the business. We plan to do so with our strength on technology and on cost, our strength on cost. So we are in a good place. I'm not worried about the growth. I think we have to focus more on product mix and cost control, and that's why we are trying to see that we take more and more profitable business in the future. So I'm very, very confident of that, the way things are going.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dinesh Gandhi from Oaklane Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Imran. Good morning.
Yes, sir. Good morning. Good morning, Dinesh.
Hi. Imran, question on Maxwell. Given that we are broad-gazing that business from pure play BMS now to also having other electronic components, are we also thinking of broad-basing beyond e-two-wheelers, broad-basing beyond autos, given opportunities which are opening up in energy storage and other areas?
Yes, sir. So we are definitely, one is the forward integration we have done into battery packs. That's a big move, and that is going to start in January 2026 with a major OEM EV customer. But apart from that, I think what is happening in the non-auto space, everybody wants to see our cylindrical assembly line of battery packs running, okay?
and that will help us to get into the non-auto. Because when they see such a good automated line, we have imported it from China, it's already come, it will be installed, commissioned by next month, then seeing is believing. So, you know, most of the people have told us, you please start running, you please see it, and then we get confidence, you know. Because see, these kind of projects are still new in India, you know. I mean, it's EVs is still a new area. Battery packs is maybe 6, 7, 8 years, because the EV business is really caught up post-COVID, I would say. You know, so still initial space, but very, very confident of our technology, of our cost competitiveness, whether it's on BMS, whether it's on battery pack. I mentioned about our innovation cell, how we are able to value engineer our products, both on the BMS as well as the battery pack space. Our sourcing is very strong, you know. So we are very confident, you know, of really scaling up this business in future. And the value add, especially, I mean, I would say the value of the business on battery pack is huge, as you know. You know, so right. We can really scale up our sales in future. I mean, 300 crores is just one platform. So there is a lot happening. And as we talk, there is a lot more new business we are talking about, you know.
Got it. And secondly, so battery pack on the auto side obviously will get benefits from the start of assembly operations. But BMS for energy storage side, is our product ready, or how far are we from product preparedness as well as getting orders?
See, we definitely know what type of BMS we have to offer. Our R&D cell is fully aware of it. It's a question of just getting the business. You know, we know what kind of equipment we have to order, the product, the cost competitiveness. We're fully aware. The question is, first is to get the business. So the main target is focus is not on the technology side, whether it's a process or the product. The main focus is to get the business, you know.
Right. Got it. Okay. That's it for my sake. Thanks. Thanks for all the best.
Thank you, Jinesh.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
No, so I just want to say that we at Endurance are fully committed to profitable growth, sales growth. We have done that since the IPO in October 2016 and we'll continue to do so. There'll be a huge focus on, of course, technology, process and product, huge focus on financial improvement. And so this will always be our focus. So just want to say that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. On behalf of Axis Capital Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us today and you may now disconnect your lines.